Well, if you were here this morning in our auditorium Bible class, we had a good discussion about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, kingdom of God. We looked at one particular aspect of that, and that was the teaching in Luke chapter 19, where Jesus gave a parable about a ruler who left to go to far country, and he left his kingdom, he left his resources in the hands of his servants. And we talked about the aspect of the kingdom that described. People had misconceptions in the first century about what the kingdom was going to be like. Well, even before that time, Jesus gave a lot of parables about the kingdom and what the kingdom was going to be like, because he wanted, when that kingdom came on Pentecost, he wanted the people to be prepared to enter that kingdom and to know what that kingdom was like. Back in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave a number of parables about the kingdom. And each of them stressed different qualities of the kingdom, different aspects of it, different characteristics of that kingdom. In Matthew 13, he talks about the parable of the sower, what kind of people, what their hearts needed to be like to accept the teachings of the kingdom. He gives the parable of the tares, about the day of judgment, what would happen at the day of judgment in his kingdom. He gives a number of other parables. Today we're going to look at just one very, very short parable. Matter of fact, the parable is only one verse long. And that's Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. It's often called the parable of the leaven. The parable of the leaven. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Jesus is on, he's preaching by the seaside. Great multitude is listening to him. And certainly out of that multitude that's listening to him, there will be people on Pentecost who hear Peter's sermon and will become citizens of that kingdom. And so Matthew 13 gives us a great deal of insight into what Christ's kingdom was going to be like. And we're only going to look at one small aspect of it today that is given in Matthew 13, verse 33, the parable of the leaven. It says, "Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." Even though that's just one short little parable, it has a great deal of relevance today. You know, Jesus must have witnessed his mother Mary doing this very thing for him, for Joseph, for the other children in the family, making bread and the process that they would go through. If you look at the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it gives a pretty long characteristic or description of using leaven and baking bread in the first century. Now, I'm just going to read a little part of that to kind of give us the idea of what Jesus wants us to learn about leaven. It says, "The leaven consisted of a piece of fermented dough kept over from a former baking." So every time bread was baked, then part of it was kept to make the next loaf. And I know people still do that today when they make sourdough bread. They keep a part to start another loaf. Well, that was the same idea then. "The lump of dough that was preserved was either dissolved in water in the kneading trough before the flour was added, or was hid, put in the middle of, in the flour and kneaded along with it." And this amount that he talks about, three measures, was anywhere from 8 to 12 quarts. So we can picture about how much that is. It's a pretty good amount there that Jesus is talking about. And what was the purpose of putting leaven into it? Really, there was only one, wasn't there? To make it more edible. You've probably eaten bread that didn't have much yeast put in it. And it's not near as tasty, is it? That process that the leaven, the yeast, causes to happen in the bread influences the bread, causes that whole loaf or the whole piece of bread to be tastier, more edible, more delightful. And so it's the idea of an influencing agent that Jesus is stressing here in this short little parable. When he says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, because it is like an influencing agent in the world. You know, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, or Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what this woman, that's what Jesus' mother would have done. Put this amount of leaven in to influence that entire bread. Again, to make it better. To make it tastier, to make it more delicious, to make it more edible, just to make it better. And that's what the kingdom of heaven does in this world. It makes it better. And it's that influential nature of the kingdom that Jesus is stressing here in this parable. He stresses lots of different aspects in the other parables, but this one is about that influencing agent that leaven has. You know, Jesus didn't come to set up a kingdom. He didn't come with a great deal of pomp and circumstance. Didn't come, you know, riding in on a big white stallion. That's not what Jesus did. Matter of fact, he said that his kingdom wasn't going to even be in this world. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom. That's the kind of kingdom it was going to be. He addressed that, of course, with lots of different people in different circumstances. He said his kingdom was not going to be advanced by force. He says, if my kingdom were this world, my servants would fight, but now my kingdom is not from here. He never meant for it to be that kind of kingdom. But the people who would constitute the kingdom, those citizens, through their lives, through their influence, would change the world in which they lived. That thought, of course, hasn't changed. One commentator wrote a number of years ago about these very words. We may also fairly see in these words a pledge and assurance that the word of life received into any single heart shall not there cease its effectual working until it has brought the whole man into obedience to it. There's the idea. The word of life, when it's implanted, James chapter 1, when it's implanted in the heart, should have a great effect on that individual. Not just reading it, not just information. The Bible is not there just for information's sake. We know there's many atheists in the world that knows a lot of the Bible. So it's not just reading the Bible or having that information that is supposed to change us from the inside. Reading Jesus' Sermon on the Mount should make us better citizens of the kingdom. It should change us from the inside out. It should change our hearts, our emotions, our attitudes, our will, our desires. And it should make us better people. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't just stop with one part of our lives. How would you like to eat a loaf of bread that part of it had been influenced by the leaven and part not? Boy, you're eating the part that's good and then you get to the part that's not and go, oh, how awful is that? See, God's Word, when it's received into it, the Word of Jesus, when it's received into our heart, is supposed to affect all of us, our entire being. You know, our spirit, our soul, everything about us is to be affected, changed, altered for the better because we've received that word into our lives. Jesus says, that's what my kingdom is supposed to be like. The people in that kingdom, those citizens, they allow the word to change them. They then change the world for the better, for the better. And that's the idea that Jesus is trying to get across to the people then. It starts, it influences, it changes from within. If you don't put the leaven inside the dough, it doesn't work. It has to be on the inside. So it can work, it's magic, it can work throughout that whole lump of dough. And then the whole thing is affected. It's all changed for the better. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be. We're not just supposed to have one small part of us changed. All of us is supposed to be changed. You know, the Bible, God, Christ, doesn't force individuals to change. You look at Jesus' life that we have recorded, He never forced a single individual to do anything. He allowed them to change on their own, but He didn't force them to. You know, some religions force their followers to change. They have no choice. Not so with the kingdom of God. Jesus gives those people opportunities to change. If they don't want to change, they're not going to change. But He said, My kingdom is of such a nature that My word is supposed to change them from the inside and continue changing them. And it's supposed to make the world better. When Jesus said, You're the salt of the world, what's salt do? Well, one thing it does is it makes things better. Makes things better. Tastier. Again, more delightful. God's people are supposed to make the world a better place. How? By forcing people? No. By example. By our influence. We're supposed to change the world. The world is not supposed to change us. Often we allow the world to change us, but the Bible says it's supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to make our community, our workplace, whatever, should be better because we're in it. Jesus says that's the kind of kingdom that I have. It changes the world and makes it a better place. And so this kingdom is supposed to grow all over the world and make the world a better place. You know, that's what happened in the first century, wasn't it? That's what happened in the first century. People began to allow those teachings of Jesus, of Peter, of Paul, of John, those inspired writings, they took those within and they became better people. And over time, even though it was gradual, you know, leaven, yeast doesn't work quickly, does it? You don't put it in and it's done instantly. It's a gradual process. That's the way it is with us. We're to be gradually becoming better people. As a result of that, our world, the sphere in which we live, our sphere of influence, and everybody has one. It doesn't make any difference who you are in here. You have a sphere of influence. And that's either good or bad, but you have a sphere of influence. And so as the Bible changes us, we're supposed to be changing that sphere of influence. I don't influence people in New York City or Tokyo or anywhere else. But there is that world around me that I'm supposed to influence and influence for the better, to make it a better place by my example. And so when you look at the first century Christians, they're beginning in the first third of the first century, and you look how Christianity influenced the world. Not overnight, but gradually. Look at the type of things that changed over time. There was a new type of love that was introduced into the world, right? When Jesus was talking to His apostles there in John chapters 13 and 14, 15, 16, there in the upper room, He tells them that the kind of love that you're to have for one another is the same type of love that I have for you. The kind of love that you would lay down your life for your friend. That type of love between God's disciples changed the world in the first century. People hadn't seen that type of love. So it influenced the world. And the world was a better place because of Christ's disciples displaying that kind of love for one another. It was radical. And it changed the communities. It changed the towns. It changed the cities. It changed everything because of those people's love. Other things happen. Over time, not overnight, over time, years and decades and centuries, the practice of crucifixion was abolished over time. slavery declined over time. The world in which Jesus was born was one of the worst societies ever for slavery. Most people were slaves. Over time, that declined. The leaven was influencing the world. Slowly, gradually, over time. Practice of killing infants, very common in the world in which Jesus lived. That declined. Over time, gradually, due to that leavening of the world by God's people, by Christ's disciples, by their influence. They didn't form a revolution. They didn't pick up arms and storm Rome. Why? It wouldn't have worked. That's why. And the same thing is true today. We can't storm Jefferson City or Washington, D.C. or anywhere else with arms as Christians and expect to make any change. It doesn't work. It's never worked. It never will work. Jesus said, you want to change your world, you change yourself and allow yourself to influence that sphere around you. He says that's the only way that it will work. It's the only way that will ever work. And so this short little parable, one verse long, teaches us the importance of allowing God's Word to change us, and then we change the world. Other things that happen in the first century. Women, their status in the world was elevated. Overnight? No. Gradually, though. Women were really not much above slaves in the Roman society in which Jesus was born and the apostles lived. They were almost like slaves. But you read Jesus' teachings and Paul's teachings and John's teachings and Peter's teachings about women. Women were elevated by the teachings of Christ, by the Bible. And so as Christians took that in, those inspired writings, and that changed them, then that changed the world. Gradually, over time, made the world a better place in which to live. Divorce declined. Totally? No. Overnight? No. Because that's not how leaven works. It works gradually to make everything better. Now, there's a lot of other things. Can you think of any hospitals today, any type of benevolent institution that was started by atheists? Atheists don't start those type of things. Think about all the good organizations, benevolent organizations that were started by people who in some way or another were following God's Word. So many of them in our country and other countries because people were influencing others by their lives, by what they were doing. Universities were started. Many of the Ivy League schools today were started as Bible schools, essentially. Harvard started out as a preacher training school 400 and some years ago. As a preacher training school. Started out, it's definitely not that now, but I mean it started out that way. Started out by people who believed the Bible. And of course, many of them weren't Christians, but they believed the Bible, and they were allowing the Bible to influence them, and that influenced things that they did. All the charitable groups. And throughout time, God's people have condemned perversions throughout the world, whether it's homosexuality or any of the others. And God's people have made the world a better place. Well, Jesus said, that's the kind of kingdom I want. That's the kind of kingdom that I'm the ruler over, that I'm the king over. The citizens allow my teachings, my word, to change them from the inside out, and then Christians do the same thing. Christians today cannot force people to live right. We have to influence them to live right. And there's an enormous difference between those two things. We want to have a better world, then the world needs a better me. That's what Jesus is saying. And then we change the world for the better. By our lives, by our speech, by us starting works that are good and influencing the world to be a better place. Christians have always had a high regard for human life. I mentioned in the first century, killing of infants was very common. Well, the teachings of Christ changed that gradually, over time, and made the world a better place. A safer place for children in the womb. Made the world a better place, a safer place for them. Without God's Word, the world would have just gotten worse and worse and worse. But Christians have influenced the world to be a better place. Governments. You know, Jesus was born and raised in a regime that was very anti-God. The Roman government was very anti-God, and I mean anti-Jehovah God. John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Took those two basic institutions, civil government and Christianity, and combined them into one." One of the founding fathers, if you want to call them that. Christianity, in the loosest form, influenced our country, influenced the Constitution, influenced the Bill of Rights, influenced all of those. But all of that can be traced back to God's Word. All of it can be traced back to God's Word. Those principles of right and wrong, of justice, of rights, can be traced back to God's Word. And so over time, the kingdom of heaven has influenced the world to be a better place. Not forcibly and not immediately, but by God's people allowing the Word to dwell in their hearts to change them so that they are better people. And then they affect that sphere around them, that small world around them, to be better. And the more people that live better lives, then the better our communities are, the better our nation is, the better the world is. That's what Jesus pictured in Matthew 13. A better world because of His kingdom. The people making it a better world. So in James, when James talks about that word coming into your heart, notice what it has the power to do. James chapter 1. And verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth." There's God's Word. "He brought us forth that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." First fruits. That's what the Word does. The Word brings us forth, makes us new creatures. See, we're new. We allow that Word to change us. We accept it. If we believe that Christ is the Son of God, we're willing to make those changes in our heart. That's where repentance starts. It starts in our heart when we receive God's Word. We change allegiances. And we say we're going to follow Christ. We make that great confession. That's what we're going to do. And then we're baptized. We become a first fruits of His creation. We become a new creature, right? Romans chapter 6. We come up out of the water, a new creature. But we don't stop then. That's when our positive influence in the world starts. And we continue to become, be transformed into His image. And we look more and more and more like Christ every day because we allow the Word of Truth to change us every day. And then as we change the world. We change those people around us by our influence. That's Christ's plan. That was His plan from the beginning, and that's the plan, that's the principle He taught in Matthew 13. He's the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It influences the world to be a better place. But it starts with you. It starts with you becoming a new creature by being immersed in water. And then it continues by you continuing to receive that word, become transformed into His image day after day. If you're ready to start that, you're ready to accept His word and become a new creature, I urge you to think strongly about doing it today as we stand and sing this song.